You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
I appreciate that so much. You guys are very loving, very kind. Keep it going for all of our friends who are watching online from all around the world. Come on, High Ridge Church. Let's give them a big welcome. A big East Texas howdy to all of you who are watching from not the great state of Texas. Get here as soon as you can. It's better here. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. You might not amen anything else I say today, but hashtag Texas. Amen. I'm so glad that you made it. Welcome, welcome. Grab your Bible and follow along if you would. Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're going today. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to continue on with our three-week mini-series called 911, When All Hell Breaks Loose. 911, When All Hell Breaks Loose. So I want to just talk about the deficiency that we have kind of in our church with knowing how to navigate through spiritual warfare. Many of us were just never taught how to navigate through. We don't know how to approach things that are of a spiritual nature. I found that the majority of believers will actually get all their warfare tactics from movies. Let me just tell you, Hollywood cannot tell you how to fight battles in the spiritual. They're going to give you battles in the spiritual. Come on, somebody. They're not going to show you how to do that. You can't fight this battle with garlic, and this is not a battle to be fought with more crosses in your house. That's good home decorating, but that ain't the same thing. Let me just explain to you very simply, very practically, on a grassroots level, how to navigate through spiritual warfare. You need to know this. Come on, somebody. You need to know this. And so I was reminded of a book that came out years ago that said, everything I needed to know, I learned in kindergarten. Anybody remember that? Everything I really need to know. And I thought that was a funny title until I started to think about, it's probably right. Like most everything you need to know, you learn how to be nice. How to share. I learned that in schools, nudity is frowned upon. I did. You're 5 years old. What do you know? I learned about my heritage. They taught us how to track our family tree back. I learned in kindergarten that I was part Aztec Indian, part Cherokee Indian. And then one day, as we were about to celebrate our heritage, which, by the way, is not politically correct anymore. Can't do that. Our teacher got called from our mobile classroom up to the main building for an emergency phone call, and she left us unattended, which is also something I learned in kindergarten. I do not do well when I am not properly supervised. And I decided to get politically correct and historically correct and anatomically correct. My motto in kindergarten was clothing optional. And don't look at me, like some of you did it too, come on. And she comes back in that classroom and sees little wild half-Indian Tim up on the desk. And Heritage Day. It's what we do. I learned it's frowned upon. I learned how to stop a grease fire in kindergarten. Anybody remember that? You don't throw water on a grease fire, right? You smother a grease fire, you smother it, right? I learned that very quickly. I learned that flour is combustible. You don't throw flour on a grease fire, like that will explode. Some things you have to learn the hard way. That's a different story for a different day. I learned you don't cook pancakes without a shirt on. I got the scars to prove it, allegedly. And if you're in kindergarten, you could see them. Some of you will get that later. I learned a lot of things when I was young, but one of the things that I was not taught from a young age is how to navigate through spiritual warfare. We're not taught from a young age the way we are taught how to deal with natural emergencies. We're not taught how to deal with spiritual emergencies. When all hell breaks loose, we don't know. And there's a failure of us as pastors and as the church, the body of Christ, to really teach people how to navigate through spiritual warfare. Let me remind you, you have a very real enemy, and he absolutely wants to destroy your home. He absolutely wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your grandchildren. He wants to destroy your ministry. He wants to destroy your finances. He wants to destroy your job. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's good at it. He's been doing it for a long time. You have a very real enemy. And I learned a lot of things in kindergarten. I learned a lot of things when I was young, but I did not learn how to navigate through spiritual attacks. Especially, look at me, when it comes to dealing with people. People. And so in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul does something great. And I want to make sure that you see this. The first half of the chapter of Ephesians chapter 6 is all about how we treat each other. Not how we treat strangers, how we treat each other. So if the first half of the chapter is devoted to husbands and wives and husbands, parents and children, co-workers, bosses, he talks about how we are navigating through our relationships, not just with strangers, but with us. And then the second half of Ephesians chapter 6 is built around warfare. Did he just get schizophrenic? Is he bipolar? Is he skipping subjects in here? No. He put them together for a reason. Why? Because our greatest spiritual attacks will most likely come through people. People. Your greatest spiritual attack, your deepest wounds are not going to be from some stranger. They're going to be through people. They're going to be through your coworkers. It's going to be through people that you go to church with, people in your group, people that you're married to, people that you used to be married to. Come on, somebody. Your in-laws, your outlaws, your ex-in-laws, those people. It's not strangers. People. People that you know. Your greatest spiritual attacks are probably going to come through people. And so Ephesians chapter 6, Paul writes the first half about how we deal with people. It matters immensely how you treat people. And it matters immensely how you deal with spiritual warfare in the context of relationships. God is watching what you say it, how you deal with people. It is important for us to understand how to navigate through spiritual warfare when all hell breaks loose in our relationships. The enemy wants you broken. He wants you divorced. He wants you divorced again. He wants you to be divorced again. Some of you are like, what about that fourth time? Yeah. And the fifth time? Yeah. He comes to sow division. He comes after unity. So your greatest spiritual attacks are most likely going to come through people, not strangers, through people. And so he writes this, starting in verse 10. I want to just read through this. So we've talked about the beginning of the chapter written about our relationships. Then he moves into warfare. He says, finally. And then there are five words that if you're an undertaker, if you're an underliner, you want to take note. Especially if you're an undertaker, an underliner, take good notes. Underline these five words. These are important. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Five important words when it comes to dealing with spiritual warfare. Be strong in the Lord. 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 You cannot put too much emphasis on those five words. It is powerful. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It says, put on the full armor of God. Many of you have read the end of Ephesians chapter 6. He goes on to describe what that is. And I'm glad he describes what that is. We need to know. And so if you have time this week, dig into this chapter. It talks about how you treat people. It talks about how you navigate through spiritual warfare. And it talks about the weapons of our warfare and the armor that we're supposed to be putting on every day. Be strong in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Look at the person next to you and say, you are not my enemy. Now look at your second choice and say, I don't want you to be my enemy. I don't want to fight you. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Well, who is our struggle against? He said it's against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That means there are realms that you cannot see but are very, very real. You're fighting against a very real unseen enemy. And he teaches us how to wage spiritual warfare. He says this, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes. Notice he does not say if. He says when. You're going to be attacked. If you call yourself a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have submitted to him, if you have asked him to come into your heart, you are a target for the enemy. Don't be oblivious. Don't be naive to think you've just had a good run and the enemy doesn't care about you. Yet you're going to get attacked. And he tells us what to do. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, it means we're giving up no ground to the enemy. I love how he doesn't say, go on the offensive and push back the gates of hell. He just says, hey, just stand. Just stand your ground. Don't lose. Persevere. Endure. He shows us how to stand when the day of evil comes. The day of evil will come. You're going to face it. You need to know what to do. You are most likely going to face it within the context of relationships with people. It may look like the person you're sitting next to. It may look like the pastor. It may look like the boss. It may look like the kid that's over there in kids ministry. But the day of evil will come, and it will sow seeds of division in your family. It's going to happen. You need to know what to do. It will most likely come through people. I wrote it down this way. If I don't know how to navigate the spiritual, I will lose battles in the natural. You need to know how to navigate the spiritual. Your attacks will most likely come through people. I would venture a guess that the greatest wounds that you have in your life are things that people have said to you or done to you. Some of the deepest, darkest things that have ever happened to you have come through other people. Some of the reasons why you act the way that you do has been because of other people. It's not just circumstances, it's people. And we have to learn how to navigate through those relationships. So Paul writes at the beginning of the chapter, how do we navigate through relationships and how do we face the day of evil when it comes through those relationships with people? One of the deepest wounds that I ever had was at the beginning of my ministry. I was a young youth pastor. I was volunteering, just serving. They had fired 6 youth pastors in 7 years at this church, and the only one left standing was your boy. And I was volunteering to just help. I'd just recently gotten saved and just turned my life over to the Lord, and God began to bless this youth ministry. It just began to explode. And we had gone from about 30 kids to 190 in just a matter of a few months. And we were having to tackle to navigate things like having multiple services because too many kids were coming. That's a good thing. But in the midst of all that, the senior pastor of this church, who I didn't know him very well, but he decided to start his own women's ministry, and you can probably figure out what that means. And things got a little awkward around the old church building, let me just say, and it happens. So he decided to do his own thing. Of course, the elders fired him, and then he decides to start his own church, and a bunch of people left and followed right after him. And then the people that were left at the church were, you know, scrambling, and it's unhealthy. And this church, it's unhealthy. And that church, in the middle of all that unhealth and the swirl of emotions and church split and things got nasty, here's your boy. And I just determined in that moment, I'm just going to follow the Lord. I'm just going to minister to these kids. You do what you got to do, boo-boo. I'm taking care of these kids. And I just took care of the youth. The youth kept growing and kept growing and kept growing. Now, the second in command that had taken over the church after the senior pastor started his own women's ministry, he was in a pickle because all these families were leaving, but they were still bringing their kids, and their kids were bringing their friends. And so he had the bright idea, which is a lot of wisdom. He said, let me get the youth pastor that's in there. Let's bring him on to staff and bring him over here into the main service so that all those families will come back because they love your boy, and people love me. And so he asked if he could have a lunch. And I'm like, I've never had a lunch with this guy, but I'm going to sit down and talk to him and just a volunteer, just serving. He's like, man, we really like what you're doing, but you need to come over here to the main service. We need you to be our worship pastor now. We're going to fire our worship pastor and place him with you. And I'm like, wow, I'm not a worship guy. I mean, I love to sing. I love music, but I want to take care of these kids. This is going really well. I said, did I do something wrong? I said, No. I just want you to be the worship pastor. I'm like, I don't want to be the worship pastor. I want to take care of the kids. Did I do something wrong? No, nothing's wrong. I'm like, so you're firing a guy? He hasn't done anything wrong. You're going to fire him, and you're going to make me the worship pastor, and I don't know anything about it and don't want to do it? He said, yeah. I'm like, does he know? Because this is my friend. And the youth pastor and the worship pastor, we were close friends. And so they fired him, and so we're going to replace him with you. And I asked him, I said, did I do something wrong? Is there anything that I did wrong? I don't want to do this. He said, no, you need to do this. I'm like, need to do this? He said, you have to do this. I'm like, I don't know. I don't feel like this is right because I see what you're trying to do, but this church needs a lot more than this. This is not me. You're not going to pin this on me. I said, if I haven't done anything wrong, would you pray over me and bless me out on Sunday? I need to go because wherever you're going, like, I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to do this. He said, you're sure you want to leave? I said, I think I need to. I said, are you going to let me pastor the youth again? He said, no, we need you. You're going to do this. I'm like, then I need to go. And I recognized in that moment, like, there was a powerful thing stirring in my heart to get really angry at him, to recognize what he was doing, to recognize the manipulation, And then to try to see it from one perspective, then the other perspective, like, well, he's trying to do this the best he can to navigate. But then on the other side, he's firing somebody that didn't do anything wrong. And then he's making me do something I don't want to do. And I don't feel like I have a word from the Lord to do it. Like, but I'm supposed to submit to my authority. Like, there's all these things in my mind that are swirling around. And I'm thinking, what in the world is happening? This is more than just a bad day. This is more than just a difference of opinion. This is spiritual warfare. I said, would you pray me out on Sunday? He said, okay, I'll pray you out on Sunday. And so I come to the very front at the end of the service. He said, Pastor Tim's going to go start his own ministry. I'm like, what is that? That's not true. But okay, whatever. He's like, so if y'all would like to say goodbye to him, we're going to, you know, love on him, pray for him, say goodbye. And they prayed for me, which was great. And then there's a line of people for 2 hours that came and told me how much they loved me. And then they started stuffing money in my pockets, which was pretty cool, which we might bring back today. If you want to stuff a lot of money in my pocket, I'm not, who am I to say, And I just looked at him as like, you know, Benjamin Franklin sticking out all in my pocket. I'm like, awkward. I said, can I have a meeting with my youth staff and let them know that me and you, we have a difference of opinion, but I didn't do anything wrong. You told me I didn't do anything wrong. He said, no, it's fine. And so I got my youth staff together. I said, guys, I just want to let you know, I'm not going to be your youth pastor any longer. I'm number 7 out of 7. Like, we've let a bunch of these guys go, so it's kind of been a pattern. They know that it's just going to be for a season. Like, it's my turn, I guess. So I'm not going to be your youth pastor. I'm not going to be your leader. But I love you guys, and I just want to let you know there's nothing between me and the pastor. We just had a difference of opinion, and I'm not going to do this anymore. So I'm going to go to another place if that's okay. And they cried a little bit, and they said, it's okay. We get it. We've done it before. I get it. And then the pastor comes in with his wife, and I said, so can you let them know that there's nothing between me and you? And he goes, well, that's a lie. There's a lot between me and you. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And then he just began to list off all my sins and all my issues, by the way, that we had never talked about. I was deeply wounded. And then his wife, who I'd never, ever had a lunch with or a conversation with, said, we've talked to you multiple times and you won't listen. And you do things your own way. And we tried and tried to correct you and you are incorrectible. We have to fire you. And I'm like, wow, that's not true. And in those moments, I want you to know, I hadn't been saved that long. I am not the gentle giant that you see today. Because my first tendency is to tap into my primal instinct, which is to come across a table and grab somebody by the shirt. I want to. And I had to recognize this is more than just a difference of opinion. This is demonic. And I have an opportunity to keep my heart right, or to fight evil with evil, to fight fire with fire, to come back and beat them at their own game, because like, none of this is true. Had to learn real quick what spiritual warfare was. That what nobody ever taught me, how to handle and walk through, how to navigate spiritual warfare when it came to my own pastor. That was the beginning of church. It's been 20 years since that. I've learned a lot, and I've had to walk through a lot because my deepest spiritual wounds and attacks have come through people. Don't look surprised, you know you. What do you do when all hell breaks loose? You better know. And I love that the book of Ephesians is not like the book of Timothy, where Paul's writing to a young pastor and training a young pastor. He's writing Ephesians to the church. He's writing it to you. He's writing it to me. He's expecting all of us to know how to put on the full armor of God and how to handle it when the day of evil comes, when wounds come, when you're confused, when division is happening, when churches are falling apart, there's unhealth and lies and confusion, manipulation, all those things. You better know what to do. You better know how to keep your heart right. You better know how to stay in the place of blessing. How do I do that? I want to show you very, very clearly through God's word what it's saying in Ephesians 6 to help us navigate through that. So if you're an undertaker, let's take some notes. Number one, I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to remember that the ability to love unlovable people is based on God's strength and not mine. You are not strong enough. You're never designed to be. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. When the Spirit of God resides inside of you, this is the moment to let your light shine. This is the moment where you get out of the way and let the Lord give you the strength to endure. It says this, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So in the midst of spiritual warfare, this is actually good news. It tells me I'm not strong enough, but he is. And so he can give me the wisdom and the strength that I need to help me to endure, to stand, to love when I want to slap. He gives me the ability to extend grace when I want to extend the left hand of fellowship. He gives me the ability to close my mouth and not say things that I'm going to regret, things that can wound and hurt and cause deep division. You see, I know what it's like to be on the other end of that, to have people speaking and saying things in the midst of their anger that wounded me deeply. Hardcore things that stuck right in my core. Things that the enemy planted, lies that he planted into the core of who I am, that I'm unteachable. That people have tried to talk to me and I won't listen. That I won't respond to correction. That I'm some lone ranger pastor that will never be under authority, that won't listen to anybody but do everything the way that he wants to do it. That's a hardcore thing to deal with when you're a pastor. And you put that label on me, and I started to think, man, am I not? Is that who I am? Be strong in the Lord, and in his mighty power, you can take your stand against the lies of the evil. When I told you last week, the main thing the enemy wants to use is lies, to get you to believe the lie over the truth of God's word. And here's mine. You've got yours. I've got mine. So I've learned that through the strength that God gives me, I can find joy in his presence in the midst of anger and confusion. I can find peace that passes all understanding. I can exhibit the fruits of the Spirit when I don't feel like it. I can, because it's not my strength. It's his strength. So when somebody, you know, sees you walking through a tough time, they like, and they say, you just need to be strong. What does that mean? Does that mean stay out of jail? Just be strong right now. What does it mean? The good news is when Paul says, be strong, he says, you're going to do this in the Lord and in his mighty power. How do you stay so strong? I know where my strength comes from. David says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I don't have to fight this battle. He can fight it for me. He's much better at this than I am. I want to slap people. He wants to change their hearts. He's better, and I'm going to lose. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. In these moments where I've been attacked, where there's deep spiritual wounds that are happening, I have an opportunity to respond with my flesh. And by the way, I'm good at it. I talk for a living. I know the truth of God's word, and I can take that and twist it and destroy somebody's life if I wanted to. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, I can say the most powerful prayer that I could ever pray is three words: Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. If you're a note taker, if you're an undertaker, write it down. Holy Spirit, come. Three of the most powerful words that you can pray. Invite the Holy Spirit. So now I've taken this battle from a natural battleground to a spiritual battleground. I'm not just fighting someone in the natural. I'm inviting the Holy Spirit to come and to help me. You've got your people that you need to know how to do this with. Some of them you might be sitting next to. For others, it's the person that used to sit next to you. It's hard to hold your tongue. The good news is you have the strength to do it. If you call yourself a believer, you can be strong in the Lord. I want to show you this. The stronger my relationship with the Lord gets, the more power I have to handle difficult people. Because it is hard to love sometimes. Come on, somebody say amen. It's hard to respond in the spiritual. It's hard. It's difficult to get past what I want to say to what I'm supposed to say. You ever have people that say something that sounds like a compliment, but it's kind of a backhanded compliment and just sets you off? I've learned how to navigate through that. I've recognized that some things I just say and I don't realize, like, that's deeply offensive. And I get it. I've become very, very good at apologizing. I say lots of dumb things. Just if it's your first time here, just keep coming. And I was talking to my daughter about things that you can say that will just set a girl off. And I've realized a couple of these things. I'll share these with you. So never, ever say this. When they're wearing a new outfit, never, ever say, you are so brave for wearing that. You won't see a demon? There's another one. I love how you normalize not caring about what people think. That's like when you say, oh, God bless your little heart. When you say, I love the way you normalize not caring what people think. You do you. You're such an individual. Like you. That doesn't mean what you think it means. You're going to get slapped. How do I respond when all hell is breaking loose? I learned how to shut my mouth and invite the Holy Spirit to come. Here's something I want to make sure that you see. That I can be gentle, I can be kind, I can be loving, and still be firm. Yeah. I don't have to be a pushover. I don't have to just let people continue to hurt me. Yeah. I can walk away, I can be firm, I can do it. You know, the armor of God is designed to be defensive, to protect yourself, and to keep you from hurting somebody else, right? So I wrote it down this way. I can love people from a distance to protect myself and to keep me from hurting them. In a lot of ways. Come on, some of us know we're half hood, half holy. And sometimes it's just me, you, and Jesus, and I forget that Jesus is there. And I'll say things that'll hurt you, or I'll get hurt. I get it. You have to learn how to navigate when all hell breaks loose in relationships. Here's the second key. We're going to move a little faster. You guys aren't listening fast enough. I can find the heart behind the emotion. I can find the heart of the matter. I can find the root of the issue. There's always a root. It's never just people explode for no reason. Now, if they're doing that, probably needs a little bit of medication. Maybe cast out a demon or two, you're going to be fine. But there's always a reason. It's always a buildup before the things explode. It's like a volcano. But it has a start, and I can find it. Now, if I can deal with the root of it, then we can get somewhere. We make some progress. I can find the heart behind the emotion. And I don't have to take the person and destroy a person's life. There's a reason. How do we know that? Because Ephesians is clear. He tells us our battle is not against flesh and blood. There's something behind that. Not maybe a wounded person. It may be demonic. But I can find it. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. If more believers would just simply read that scripture and memorize it, you'd save yourself a lot of heartache. That ain't your enemy. So the one I'm fighting with is not the one I'm fighting with. It may look like your ex. It may look like your granddaughter. It may look like your mom. But the one you're fighting with is not the one you're fighting with. There's an opportunity for the Lord to be glorified and for the enemy to be defeated in relationships when all hell is breaking loose. We can take the war to a spiritual battleground by simply inviting the Holy Spirit to come, by praying, Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. Give me strength. Help me not to hit nobody. I don't want to go to jail today. I got time for all that. Help me, Lord. Here's the good news. He will help you. He'll help you. He'll help you find the root of the issue. Lord, show me what's really going on. Show me what the problem is. Is it just that they don't like a red stapler? Is that really the problem? Is that the reason why all hell's breaking loose? Or could it be something deeper than that? Lord, show me what the root cause is so we can deal with it on a foundational level. So behind the attack may be a demon, but in front of the demonic attack is a person that Jesus loves. This is important to keep in mind when you're taking battles to the spiritual battleground. You may be fighting demonics, but the demonic things, but there's a person that Jesus loves there, and you better be careful. So Paul mentions the devil's schemes. The original language paints a better picture than just the word scheme. You might think of scheme as something different. The word scheme here means sleight of hand, a magician's trick. It's a mirage. It's one of those things where you see something happening here, but the trick is really happening over here. And if you've ever seen a magician that does that, you know, he's talking to you about this, and next thing you know, he's got your watch in his hand. How'd you do that? This is the words that Paul uses to describe the enemy's attack. He said, you're fighting it in the natural, but it's really happening in the spiritual. And if you recognize what's happening in the spiritual, you can defeat it in the natural. But you have to approach it that way. And see, I think we've gotten very good as a society to write a lot of things off and say, I just need more medication. Let me get the right medication. Well, maybe. Maybe medication is the issue, or maybe it's, you know, we just need some counseling. Well, maybe. Maybe. Oh, we just need a break. We need a vacation. Maybe. Those are all good things. Maybe you just need a new pillow and a good night's rest. Maybe. Maybe you need a snack. Maybe. But if those things ain't working and there's still strife and division, there's still no intimacy, no peace in your home, you still can't speak to each other, there's still constantly turmoil. Let me just venture a guess. That's demonic. Take it to a spiritual battleground. Say, Holy Spirit, would you come? Help me find the root of the issue. How did the enemy get in this? How do I shut that door? How do I defeat him at his own game? Schemes. Look at 2 Corinthians 2. Paul says, in order that Satan might not outwit us. Notice he's not talking to pastors. He's talking to the church in Corinth. He's talking to believers. We're not supposed to be outwitted by the enemy. He says, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Not unaware that this is sleight of hand. This is not a battle in the natural. It's a battle in the spiritual. You have to learn how to fight both. But you are a spiritual being, and a lot more of your battles are happening on the spiritual level than are in the natural. You got to learn how to navigate the spiritual so that you can win in the natural. I want to say it this way. Demons want me to live in the world of the five senses. But there's more. There's spiritual insight, spiritual wisdom, discernment. So you can find the heart behind all the emotion. They don't want you to know their schemes. Why? Because once you know them, you'll win. Oh, I recognize what you're doing. Scripture says to do this. It's not that difficult. But the scheme, I want to make sure that you see this. I'll put this on the screen. The scheme of all spiritual warfare is to cause division. Divide and conquer. He's been doing this from the very beginning. Divide, divide, divide. Why? Because he understands that when there's two or more gathered in the name of Christ, that Christ is there. He understands that a three-cord strand is not easily broken. He understands that where there is unity, brothers dwelling together in unity, there God commands a blessing. He understands the power of unity. When we get together, when we join our faith together, we are a real threat. But he sows seeds of division, trying to get your house divided, your marriage divided, you and your children divided, you and your grandchildren divided, you and your parents divided, you divided from other Christians, divided, 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 to make you think that you're better on your own. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. And in a crisis, the last person you want to take advice from is you. There's power and strength and unity. Why is it that the most divided and segregated day in the country is Sunday? We've divided along the lines of this and that, small things, petty things. We don't dress like that. We don't play this instrument. We don't look like that. We don't go here. We don't do that. So let's divide up and have a church of these kind of people that all think alike. Division. Do you see the attack on the church? Do you see it? Why is it that Sunday is the most segregated day in our country? Black church, white church, Mexican church, Chinese church. You don't see that in the New Testament. It's church. It's us. Do you see the enemy's attack on the church? Division. It's everywhere you see it. Longview's got a lot of churches. It's foolish for us to nod our heads and to recognize it with church and not recognize it in our own home. It's the same evil one, the same enemy with the same scheme, the same tactic. Why does he keep doing it that way? Because it works. Sowing seeds of division. And you have to be able to recognize it to navigate through all the spiritual warfare. Here's the third thing. We're going to finish up with this. Number three, how do I respond when all hell breaks loose? I respond under control and under authority. Under control of what? Under the control of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come, show me what to do. Show me how to say, put a gatekeeper over my mouth. Help me only to say what you want me to say so I don't hurt that person. And so I definitely don't say something that is wrong or hurtful or painful or going to sow seeds of division. Holy Spirit, I'm under your control. I'm under your authority. There's a very real spiritual authority that is not politically correct anymore. People don't want to think about it, but spiritual authority is real. It's real. The spiritual authority in your home is real. Authority matters in spiritual things. It matters. Now, it's abused in the natural all the time. But spiritually speaking, you can't bypass authority. I want you to know this. Perhaps you don't know this. Demons are only able to operate within legal guidelines that the Lord has set out for them to operate under. They cannot go farther than what he puts boundaries on. There are limits of what they can do. They are ranked. They are under authority. There's a reason why Paul writes and says these are demonic principalities and powers and spiritual forces. He's using military lingo, saying this is rankings. There are levels to this. They are under authority. They do what they're told to do, and they're good at it. Jesus, when he's describing the kingdom of Satan, Jesus was accused of driving out demons by the power of demons. He's like, that doesn't make any sense. And he begins to give this spiritual insight. Look at this in Matthew 12. He says, every kingdom divided itself against itself is laid waste, and no city, and look at this, or house, that's your home, divided against itself will stand. What does Paul tell us to do? Take your stand. He said, you can't stand if you're divided. Do you see it? Do you see it? Same words. So he says, no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. That ain't working. He says this, look at this. Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Showing us the authority over the home and how the enemy comes in. Starts with the man and wreaks havoc in the home. Now, it may not be politically correct. You may not like it. You may not agree with it. I don't care. It's the truth. You need to know this. You'll never get freedom in your home until you understand this. There's spiritual authority in your home. And if the Lord is not the spiritual authority over your home, you're not going to make it. We have to be submitted to his authority and allowing him to call the shots. This word has to take preeminence over our emotions. Lord, what does your word say? I know what I feel like saying. What does your word tell me to say? Holy Spirit, come, show me, help me. I don't want to be divided here. I don't want to cause more division. Don't want to cause another splinter. Trust me, look at me. I've been divorced. I know what it's like to destroy my family. I know what it's like to not understand this and not know what to do when the day of evil comes. I did not navigate very well multiple times. You don't have to learn on your own. You can learn by looking at my mistakes. I'm telling you, I've been there and done it. Many of you have done it too. You know what it's like. Division. Let me remind you, according to Christ, Satan does not fight his own. Only Christians do that. Ouch. Sorry, I'll move on. That's weird. We don't like that. We'll fight each other. Satan doesn't do that. Only we do that. I want to remind you of a great scripture. 1 John 4. And John, the amazing apostle, writes this to encourage us. He says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. That means as strong as you think your enemy is, and that power of division that you see over your home, where it's just become natural and normal, that power of division in your job and with your employees and with your boss, with your children and grandchildren, no matter how hardcore that's been, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That means that Christ has the power to defeat all of this and help me navigate through this demonic spirit of division. He helps me to heal when I've been hurt. He helps me to not hurt someone else when I've been hurt. We can respond with the fruits of the Spirit and not respond in our own anger through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can do this. It's not that difficult. I want to remind you that the only power demons have is the power that you give them. So if I stay in control and under God's authority, I can't lose. And I want to remind you of that. You can't lose. If I'm under control of the Holy Spirit, if he leads me, he orders my steps, tells me what to say and what not to say, how to say it and the right heart to say it, if I stay underneath his authority, Lord, I submit to you. Help me. The Lord will take everything that the enemy uses for evil and turn it around for your good. So a couple of years ago, I got a phone call from a girl that used to be in that same youth group. And she asked me, would I come and be a part of her wedding? I said, of course, I love you to death. I'd be happy to do that. And she happened to be that pastor's daughter. And so when I show up to be a part of the wedding, they sit me, of course, right next to this same pastor. I haven't spoken to him since, and it was awkward, to say the least. And he sits down next to me and looks over and recognizes me, and I look at him and I'm like, "How's it going? Good to see you." And he said, "Hey, Tim, it's been a long time." Said, "Yeah, it's been a long time. I haven't seen you since." Ooh. He asked me how I was doing. And I get a chance to share with him the goodness of the Lord and what's happened in spite of all the things that I had to walk through. And as I'm talking to him, he starts crying. I'm like, that's not fair. There's no crying in spiritual warfare. And he says, I need to say something to you. I said, okay. And he said, I was wrong. He said, the way I treated you and what I said about you, I was wrong. I'm like, wow, that's a lot to process. I didn't think I'd ever get an apology for that one. I said, that hurt me a lot. He said, I know, I'm sorry. None of that was true. None of it was right. And what I did to you was completely wrong. And I need you to hear me say that. Would you please forgive me? That's powerful. And in that one moment, like the Lord literally like reversed the curse off of my life. Reversed the curse off of my distrust for spiritual authority. The church hurt that had been there for so long. The thoughts about my own identity and not being teachable, not listening, the Lord just pulled those out of my heart. I said, of course I forgive you. We started talking about ministry in old times, and he said, man, it's good to see you. It's good to see you. He said, I'm sorry the way that it ended. It shouldn't have been that way, but I'm glad that we could make amends. I said, that means a lot to me, Pastor. I gave him a big hug. He gave me a big hug. We cried in the chicken. It was weird. But it's powerful what God can do if you determine to keep your heart right and not return evil for evil. I think that's a powerful word for somebody today. If you learn how to respond in the natural as if you learn something in the spiritual, you'd be surprised at what God can do. God can change the human heart. He can soften your heart. He can soften and change their heart. He can change the entire situation and work it out for something good. It doesn't have to end with evil and division. Recognize the enemy's attack. Stand strong against the evil one and watch God be God. It's powerful. It's good. I want to finish up right there. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? If you're walking through hell today, if this is speaking something directly into your heart, you're saying, Pastor, you're reading my mail. I want you to know that you need to talk to the Lord. This is not something I can do for you. I'd be happy to pray for you, but you need to talk to him. There's some submission that you need to do. Maybe you need to take an honest look and say, has there been an open door to the enemy somewhere in here that I need to close? Is there a sin issue at the root of this that I need to close? Is there an attitude that I've had? And if so, I want to get that right. Make it right. See, we give the demonic a lot of authority by opening up windows with our sin. The good news is Christ came to forgive sins. Close the door. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to pray for you right where you are. And I want you in this moment to talk to the Lord. Say, Holy Spirit, come. Show me. If there's any open door to the evil one in my life that's causing division, causing all hell to break loose, Lord, I pray that you'd show me so I can shut this thing down right now. Holy Spirit, come. Father, I pray that right now you'd begin to reveal the things that are going on in our lives and show us how to close the doors to the evil one. I pray that you'd forgive us of sin. Help us to stand strong, to endure the day of evil. Father, I pray for every marriage that's hurting that you'd restore. I pray that where hurtful words were spoken, that you would be healing. I pray for every tense relationship. Right now, I just pray that you would come, O Lord God, that you'd raise up a standard against the evil one and that things would turn out for our good. Would you destroy every attack of the enemy right now in Jesus' name? Bring clarity and hope and peace where there was none. Would you soften our hearts? I don't do this often, but I sense from the Holy Spirit right now that if you were to be honest, you'd say, I've got a heart of stone. The Lord says, I want to take that heart of stone and give you back a heart of flesh. I want you to be soft and pliable again. You've been hurt, but he's the God of our hurts. He can help you. Let him do it, please. Please let him do it. In Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, if I'm going to be honest, I need a relationship with Jesus. I need to come home to him. If that's you, I want to invite you to pray with me. I'll tell you what to say. But pray with me. If you want a relationship with the Lord, if you need to come home to him, you've been away from him, say this prayer with me. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you came and died and rose from the grave so that I could have forgiveness for my sins and life eternal. I ask you to forgive me. Be the Lord of my life. I submit and surrender to you. I'm all in. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer with me, you're not ashamed or embarrassed to admit it. If that was you, would you just look up at me and just wave at me? That was me, Pastor. I did. I see you good. I see you good. I see you, young lady. Good for you. If that was you and you prayed that prayer, behind me is a number that's going to appear on the screen. The number is 844-HRC-TEXT. If you're watching online, there's a number there. I want to invite you to text me. Text the words, I prayed, to that number on the screen, and I'm going to send you some free stuff that I've developed just for you. It'll help you understand what to do next and what just happened inside of your heart. It'd be my greatest honor if you would do that for me. Good for you. Good for you. Well, Highridge family, go ahead and look up at me, then stand to your feet if you would. For all of you watching online, if you liked what you heard today, if you feel like people need to understand how to navigate through spiritual warfare, if you have friends that you know are going through division and divorce and so much tension in their homes and their jobs and relationships, they're battling through wounds, maybe with church hurt, share this video with them. Share it. We want to invite you to share it. People will find it, and you'd be surprised what God can do if you would just share and become a part of this process of sharing what God's saying to this people. I'm going to invite our elders and their wives forward. They're going to be available to pray for you about anything that you might need prayer for. We would love to pray for you. Also, we have Beast Feast coming, and I want you to recognize the importance of what happens when men stop acting like boys and start becoming the men that God has called them to be. It is immensely important in the kingdom of God for men to understand who God has called them to be and to walk in the authority that God has given them, to walk free from sin, to walk free from foolishness, and to become men of God. So there's a huge attack on those men. I want to make sure that you hear me clearly, the enormity of what we're taking on here. And I want to ask you, as your pastor, would you pray over that? We're believing that there's going to be a lot of men saved, a lot of men surrender to the call of God, a lot of men catch the heart of what God has for them, and then begin to take steps of faith. It's going to be powerful. But it only happens, those breakthroughs only happen, when the church is willing to pray ahead of time and do the warfare in the spiritual. So we're going to do the best that we can to reach them. I want to ask that you pray along with me. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be good. All right, let me pray for you and bless you as we go. Father, would you bless my friends with an amazing week, following after you, living in your goodness, in Jesus' name. And all of us said together, amen. God bless you as you go. I hope you have an awesome week.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.